Welcome to the show. We're underway on a Tuesday afternoon. It's Steinberg and Will kicking you off this Tuesday. The big show goes 2 till 6. Remember that? Rintoul and Sermon go 10 till 2. Big show starts at 2 from here on out. So I don't think anyone was surprised with the way that game went last night. Hey, like, I don't know. Yeah, you're disappointed and it's frustrating and all that type of stuff, but what else do you say at this point, Will? Like, it's starting to become a broken record. It's starting to become a self-fulfilling prophecy or whatever the hell else you want to call it. They are a fragile group. They are way too easily rattled. They do not respond well in big, important spots. And that was the case last night again. And with 19 games to go, they are where they are because they have put themselves in that spot. And they are what they are. Like, this is one thing that I know for sure. After watching 37 games this season, this group ain't it. This is not going to get the job done. We know that for a fact. And I guess the door is still open, a glimmer for them to go on this run that they keep on talking about. But, Will, I think it's time to start the process of making the significant changes. And maybe they don't. And it's not like this is new for us, but again, you're like, okay, well, maybe they can take 2 of 3 from the Jets, and they open up with a 1-0 lead and all that type of stuff. And then the same story repeats itself once again. If you had any doubt internally about what needs to happen, didn't last night just seal at home that whether you can make the big deals before April 12th or not, the process has to start about changing your mindset on this group and starting to make the actual significant changes that need to be made here.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, if you needed to see all 6 or 5 coaches, then whatever. But it's funny because I've said this a couple of times on the air. In this market, we love to do 2 things. We love to blame the goalie. We love to blame the coach. Well, right now, yeah, it's pretty easy to blame the goalie because he hasn't been that good in the last 11 games. But
and you know, we will get to that.
Yeah, but since winning the first 4 of 5 under Daryl Sutter, this team has essentially cratered. They have lost 5 of 6. They have looked awful. And, you know, for me, more than anything, brought vindication to my belief that this core group just isn't going to do it. And there's a lot of people that crushed me when I said it's not Jeff Ward's fault. Yeah, sure, fire him, but that's not going to do anything. And we're here. We have arrived at the point where this team is what they are. And the other thing that I've got no time for today, you can't tell me that the Calgary Flames lost that game last night because of the referees. You can throw that garbage right out the window because they lost that game last night because they couldn't handle any bit of adversity.
Yeah,
they got one call that went the wrong way that they believed that they should have got the call on, and they folded. So don't tell me about the referees last night because I'm not happy.
And isn't that what we've been talking about all year, Will? Like one
exact
thing,
same theme. Yeah, this core group.
Yeah, and you know what? I thought that should have, like, that looked like a kicking motion to me. Sure, I thought it should have been a disallowed goal, too. Absolutely. It wasn't. A call went against you. So what? Don't give up the game-winning goal 2 minutes later. Don't let that beat you. And that's mm-hmm. that's the frustrating part, is that when things, whether it's officials, whether it's a bad break, whether it's frustrating goaltending, whatever, they let things beat them this year, and that
I forgot
is so
to
hard
give you the heads
wrap
up.
Your head around.
Forgot to maybe see if we can do some digging, and that's my apologies. Should have been better in my preparation for today because I did see it, and I'm like, yeah, we should probably have that audio somewhere. But Ryan Pike was the one who threw it out there, Pat, on Twitter this morning. You go back to 2017, I believe it was, under Glenn Gulletson. The quote: "I mean, we play well. One bad thing happens, and we crumble." We crumple. Everybody talks about our starts. Our starts have been good. Our little shot, it goes in.
Wasn't
and
that
then we
that was after That's, Montreal and then the train?
Exactly. They
to
lost.
Ottawa,
and funny enough, ironically enough, the score in that contest, 5-1.
Yeah.
I just don't know what else you can say right now, Pat, except for I'm looking inside that room. I'm looking at the leadership group of this team. And for me, just not good enough.
Okay. And there. And I want to cut you, and I'm not cutting you off to be a jerk because we're on the same page. But there is something wrong right now. Let's get right into this because you just talked about it, leadership group, core players, whatever. Listen to a portion. This is about 2 minutes of Matthew Tkachuk from last night in conversation with the media. He starts by talking about that exact theme, Will, about crumbling or whatever you want to say, and response to adversity. Here's Matthew Tkachuk from last night.
No, we don't do a very good job of dealing with adversity. You know, they make it 1-1. And then, obviously, as the questions previously, and then it's kind of my fault on the second one. And then, you know, we let that trickle into the second, and then you know, I made a bad play again on their fourth goal, and you know, we're just not doing a good job of dealing with adversity. So I'll take responsibility for those two.
Matthew, you mentioned the lack of ability to deal with adversity. Is that what's missing most with this group right now, or are there other elements that are frustrating you as well?
I'm sure there's definitely other elements.
Matthew, can you describe your level of frustration after a game like this?
No, it's not just this one. It's been a win-win, lose-one, win-one, lose-three, whatever. So time's ticking. We've been saying this for past however long, but time's really, really ticking. So we got to string now a bunch together. So can only be frustrated for tonight. I mean, you can't let it affect the rest of your season, because if we have any hope and any chance of, you know, stringing a bunch together against all these teams that are ahead of us, we have to dig down deep. And you know, I certainly have to be a hell of a lot better than I was tonight. You know, we just got to, you know, the games where we're playing well, play with a lot of energy, play with a lot of pace, play with a lot of physicality. So we have to do that for the last 20 games, or I don't even know if we have that many left.
So that's Matthew Tkachuk from last night, Will, and we'll talk about him specifically in just a second and what we're seeing from his game. But what I just heard there, that doesn't paint a picture of a team that is poised to go 15-4 or 14-5 down the stretch, or whatever the heck they would need to do. That there's something not right here. Like there's you don't get that type of response, and I don't know. I don't know what it is. We'll probably never know what it is, but there's something not right when this team can get thrown off their game as easily as they were last night. And you just talked about the leadership group, core group, whatever. This ain't it. They're not the right group to be able to get this team where they want to go. And I don't know what changes you need to make, because I'm not behind those closed doors, Will, but something's got to change. There's something not right right now.
And that's why for me, Pat, I have a hard time buying into the core under the core. We talk a lot about culture and being around, you know, winning teams and all that type of stuff. Okay, yeah, there might be a second core underneath this core, but is that really who you want to build with? Is that really where you want to go? Because I'm not so sure. I mean, that's why I'm you know, so dead set on kind of resetting the entire thing, because this team has never done it. And I heard, you know, one of the calls you had in overtime last night, I thought was brilliant, because he's bang on. You know, Calgary's never going to be a market that, you know, attracts big name free agents. This team is a team that has to build from within. They have to draft and develop, and they have never done that. And they've taken constant shortcuts because ownership sees the green, they see the people in stands, and they don't care. This team has been in the middle for my entire life. I've lived in this city for 30 years. They have been in the middle my entire life. They rode a Finnish goaltender to the game seven of the Stanley Cup final in 2004.
And the best player that's ever played for them.
And they've been living off that ever since.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's a lot of people in this city that are sick and tired of it. And I don't know if that's what they brought Daryl Sutter in for. I still think he's a fabulous coach. But was there some nostalgia on that hire? Or they truly believe there is a core within the core here, and they are going to try and win the next 2 years?
Because we've said this enough.
Daryl Sutter's, he's not here for a rebuild. Jacob Markstrom's not here for a rebuild. So are you going to stay in the middle? Because I don't see a world right now with the economic times, with you already against the cap. How are you going to reset right now and convince me that you're ready to compete next season?
Well,
because I'm having a real hard time buying it.
The problem is, like, okay, so there's clearly something wrong, and this group ain't it, and that's clear to me. And you know what? If they go on the run that they're wanting to go on, then I'll change my tune. I will 100% change my tune, but this ain't it. And so the problem is, if they do what you're saying and try to retool on the fly and, again, try to be competitive next year, you're right. That the way they're built right now, the way, short of going out
again
and getting Jack Eichel, you're not – I don't see Daryl Sutter or not, and I'm with you. I think Daryl Sutter is an elite coach. I really do. But I'm not sitting here ready to say that's going to – you know, that coach and a team that isn't built like an elite team is all of a sudden going to be an elite team. Now, there's no Kopitars here. There's no Doughtys here. The way Markstrom's playing, there's no Jonathan Quick here. So you can throw the L.A. conversation out the window right now. A coach can only do so much. So, yeah, this is a straight-up 100% crossroads. And the worst part is, well, I think we know where this thing is going. I think we really do. I don't think they're going to do what I think a lot of people are screaming at them to do. That's why this trade deadline and this offseason is going to be one of the most, I think, heated, controversial, and spoken about in a long, long time in this organization. Moving quickly, it's Will and Pat. Big show's underway, live from the Iconic Studio, powered by Iconic Electric and Controls. Maintenance, it's Iconic. Visit iconicec.ca to find out more. Matthew Tkachuk's season is really starting to worry me. We just listened to him. And I'll give him credit. He took accountability for the way he played last night. I'll give him that because he was not good enough. But those antics last night are no good. Whatever the hell was, like, I saw that your tweet last night, and it continues to get run on social media. Whatever the hell that was on the game winner, him trying to interfere and then trying to dive and then completely skirting any responsibility on it, that can't happen. That cost you a hockey game last night. The between the legs pass from the half boards in his own zone to the middle of the ice to a Jets player in the slot, like, the body language, all of it. This guy we have talked about for the longest time, Will, as a potential future captain of this team. I get that he's frustrated. I get that there are other things maybe going on behind the scenes. But if you're going to be the future captain of this team, it's time to figure it out. This is 37 games of an up and down and nowhere near good enough Matthew Tkachuk. If this is truly the next captain, it's time for him to step up and figure it out.
You know what, Pat? I think you can throw the next captain conversation out of the window. I've been a guy who has been in that corner for a long, long time. And today I'm prepared to walk that right back, because that's not a guy that I ever want to be the leader of my hockey team. And maybe it's a one-off. I don't know, but something isn't right with this guy. And he's never been a great skater to begin with. And everything this year just seemed to be magnified. And he's your highest paid player. And for a long, long time, he was the first guy on everybody's untouchable list. I had no problem telling you that guy was the best player on this team. Well, he's not that anymore. And right now, he's hurting this team more than he's helping them. And again, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's COVID-related. I don't know if he's banged up or something is off with Matthew Tkachuk, and I can't put my finger on it. He is not the same player. And this even, you can maybe correlated a little bit to the Muzzin puck flip and whatever was said or not said in that team meeting. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's deeper than that, Pat. He's had an awful season. And yeah, that stuff last night is completely unacceptable. And that is so far from captain material, it's not even funny. And the worst part about all of that is that dive was so blatant. And then he has the audacity to look at the referee with his palms up and ask for a call.
Well, he's the one that interfered. Like, he's the one that on the back check.
It's just awful.
And then he lost the battle when he initiated the interference, dives, and then is all of a sudden saying that the officials have a hard job to do. Look, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I am, because of what I've seen from him prior to this season. So I'm willing to let it figure itself out. But it has to get figured out. And you know what? If you're a Flames fan, you want this thing figured out before the end of the season. And it might not be enough to drag him into the playoffs. It likely won't be enough to drag him into the playoffs. But at least start to figure it out and stop letting whatever it is that is getting at him and getting to him. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm really not. But That guy is the highest paid player on your team. He can't be doing what he did last night. And the problem is, okay, that was his worst game of the season, no doubt about it. But the games where he has been, Matthew Tkachuk, one of, if not the best player on the team, those have been so few and far between this year that it doesn't justify him being a $7 million player. And him being that important to this team going forward, yeah, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, Will, and I'll give him the time to figure it out because I do think when he's at his best, he's that important. But whether you're willing to give him the benefit of the doubt or not, and I am, maybe you're not, but he's got to figure it out. That much is completely without, you're not able to argue that. That much is fact, that he's got to figure it out, or this team, core underneath the core, rebuild, whatever. This team ain't going anywhere if he doesn't figure it out. On the ice, off the ice, yeah. Period.
With you 100%. And like I said, I think for the longest time, like, I will give him time to figure it out. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying ship him out of town tomorrow. But Pat, he is no longer an untouchable for me. Like, I'm sorry. If there was an opportunity to move on, I would entertain it. I'm not saying I would do it, but he is no longer in that camp for me.
Final topic this segment, because there's a lot to get into with the way this Flames team is going. These Jacob Markstrom struggles are starting to be really concerning. Really concerning. And I'll preface this right away before Will drives me over with a bus. I called this a home run deal in October, and it looked like that early on. Pretty much until the injury, it looked like this guy. Yeah, you signed this guy. He's been your MVP. Outstanding. Since returning from that injury and since early March, this guy's not right. 4-6-1 in 11 starts. 890 save percentage. That is not good enough for a guy you just signed 6 years, $36 million. And it's not like he is losing them games right now, Will, single-handedly. But you pay a guy money like that to win you games. You play a guy like that to make saves that other goalies don't. You pay a guy like that to shut the door when you need a huge stop, you know, in a 1-1 game against Ottawa. And again, it's not like these aren't great scoring opportunities. Chris Tierney's game winner in the 2-1 game where Johnny Gaudreau came back to tie it, that was right from the slot. But do you not pay a guy $36 million and bring a guy in like that, give him a full no move? You don't do that for him to be just okay and to make the stops that he's supposed to make. And I'm not putting this all on Markstrom because, again, I'm willing to give that guy the benefit of the doubt and figure it out. But I can't sit here and tell you that in year one, him starting the way that he started and it being so, so positive, and then this, I can't sit here and tell you that it's not concerning, because it is.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge concern, especially when you factor in the term there. And that's why I never really was in love with the deal, because you're giving a 30-year-old goaltender who did have an injury history a 6-year term. And yeah, there's no question for me since the Tanner Pearson collision, whether or not it has direct, it's the direct relative to his struggles.
That's the direct result, you know, these.
Yeah, like, I don't know if that's the case, but it certainly is kind of right where the numbers start to fall off for him, because ever since he came back off the IR, it's been a disaster. And, you know, you can always play the hindsight game, but yeah, I wasn't in the camp they should be signing a goaltender. And if they were, it wasn't going to be 6 years on a term. And now that you've signed that guy and your season's gone the way it has, he's performed the way it has. It feels like a bigger mistake, because it, you know, the team hasn't been playing well, but you know, there's still time to figure it out, and he very well could be ailing still from some sort of injury. So I'm not ready to say it's a failure, but yeah, he needs to be better. And there's no question that when your team can't score, it gets highlighted even more how much your goaltender is struggling. And then you factor in how dynamite Cam Talbot's been in Minnesota, and there's a lot of Flames fans that might look at that and go, geez, yeah, maybe you shouldn't have done that. You know, 3x3 for Talbot looks a little better than 6x6. For Jacob Markstrom.
It is early, and I 100% will give this guy the benefit of the doubt, because I do believe that Markstrom is an elite goaltender. And the 3-4 years prior to this year and the first 20 games or whatever of this year, that's a good body of work. But he's got to figure it out. And it's not about making the playoffs this year. It's not about, you know, him figuring it out so they can go on this run. It's about him figuring it out because he signed for 5 more years at $6 million, and he is one of the guys that you have put the trust of your team in. That's why he needs to figure it out. Here's Markstrom, who spoke just about half an hour ago following practice at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome.
I feel like you want to steal every game, and the urge to play better, I would say it's very high. And obviously try to push myself in practice, and but at the end of the day, you got to get the work done in the games. And I'm not happy with my performance.
And what's kind of the key to you turning it around? Is it more work with Jason, or is it a mental element? What's the key to this?
I mean, I think it's everything, but for sure, just when it's not going the way you want it to go, I think it's easy to kind of wander out and try new things. But you got to stick with what you know works, and you gotta keep pushing those details, and you got to work on them, and you got to do work before practice and do work after practice, and be good on those details in practice as well, and it's gonna carry over into games. But it's frustrating for sure, but we got to stick together as a team and come out of this.
Jacob, we all know that you take so much pride in what you do. What are, when things aren't going the way you want, like right now, what are these stretches like on a guy, and kind of in your experience, how do you turn that around?
It's my job to keep the puck out of the net, and I'm not doing it to the level where I want. And there's nothing worse than when you lose, and you lose games in a row, and you win one, then you lose one, and after 2 days again, and you're back on it. So it's I have to be you want to win the goalie battle against the other goalie, and I'm not doing that. So that's really frustrating, but I have to work hard in practice, and you got to eat good, you got to sleep good, and then that's pretty much all you do all the time, except what you spend at home is at the rink. So we got plenty of time and opportunity to be at the rink and get better and improve, both in the gym and both on the ice. So the possibilities are there, and we're trying to use it as much as possible, even though we play every other night. So that's every other team is doing that as well. So it's frustrating, and you want to turn around and you got to just stick to it and get better.
That's Jacob Markstrom. A little bit of his meeting with the media earlier today. Well, last thing I'll say is that we're both willing to give this guy the benefit of the doubt, and I am too, because I don't think he is physically ailing from the injury, but I do think that has messed with his game, and now it's about getting his game back, and now it's about him figuring that part of his game out again. But It's not what you would call a great sign, or it's not something that you would call super encouraging in year one of a 6-year deal,
No, it's not. And I think the other thing too, Patty, is that a lot of people were pointing at the work done by Ian Clark in Vancouver. And I'm not saying that's why he has fallen off, but there was a lot of credit to him about how much his game turned around. And you're watching what's happening with Thatcher Demko in Vancouver, and you wonder how much he is missing that. I don't know, really how much of a difference that goaltending coach would make for Jacob Markstrom, but it was very clear it was a special relationship. And, there's no question he's got to figure it out. He's going to get the benefit of the doubt from me as well. But, you can't be an .880 goalie making $6 million. It just doesn't work.
And what that means for a rebuild, well, that's a conversation for another day. He's Will. I'm Pat. We're underway on the big show. It is time for last night's Game in a Minute.
Game in a Minute, brought to you by Hyatt Infinity, home of the synthetic oil change starting at $79.95, any make or model. Hyatt Infinity, Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
Hello, hockey fans, and welcome inside Scotiabank Saddle Dome in Calgary for the finale and rubber match of a 3-game miniseries between Jacob Markstrom and the 16-17-3 Calgary Flames, and Connor Hellebuck and the 21-12-2 Winnipeg Jets. Here's Giordano, and Gaudreau steps in. Gaudreau centers, and now Lindholm scores! A fantastic 4-way passing play finished by Elias Lindholm. Gaudreau centers, Monahan shoots. What a stop by Hellebuck, who falling over stretches out and keeps the puck out of his net. pressure. Now Trevor Lewis will pick it up and play it right point. Develop with a shot tip, and they score! The Jets' leading goal getter, the 17 of the season, will drop it in front. Now Shifley shoots and scores! And Jacob Markstrom fires the puck down the ice out of frustration. Mark Scheifele one-timing a Kyle Cotter pass past Jacob Markstrom. And the Jets score a couple of quick ones to take a 2-1 lead. Stick handle into the far corner and drop it. Scheifele shoots. Markstrom can't make the save. And now the rebound shoveled in. Mark Scheifele scoring his second goal of the hockey game. Here comes Kopp the other way. Slides it up the left wing side. Scheifele across. Ehlers in front. Kopp scores! A beautiful slap pass by Nikolai Ehlers, and Andrew Kopp redirects it past Jacob Markstrom. Here's Dubois with a shot. He scores! Pierre-Luc Dubois walks right up the middle of the ice and zips the puck into the top corner of the Flames' net. The Flames got off to a great start in this game. Elias Lindholm scored 2:24 in, but then the Jets score 5 unanswered, and they'll leave Calgary with a 5-1 win.
Game in a minute. Brought to you by Hyatt Infinity, home of the synthetic oil change starting at $79.95, any make or model. Hyatt Infinity, Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
I went in and I got my synthetic oil change on my Q60 at Hyatt Infinity. Whew, she is running like a top. Any make or any model, synthetic oil change starting at $79.95, and my friends at Hyatt Infinity.